You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Say this one time, boy, and that's my word.
We rock a shot to knock fire through the Hindenburg.
The contribution is clear.
You add water to bone
and get the Jurassic vibe on the microphone. Now, if you like the tone
and how the harmony's done and suck it.
This is the Thunderbird Locker Room, giving you a backroom perspective on varsity athletes, coaches, and staff here on UBC campus. That opening song was Jurassic 5, and the song was Concrete Schoolyard. It's from the 90s. Check them out. Today in studio, Ramses Langston, head coach of men's rugby at UBC. He's also a teacher over at, where are you at? Handsworth.
That's right.
He's a PE teacher, athletic director, and he's got two bum knees. Rammer, how'd you mess your knees up?
Oh, buddy. Collection of high-impact collisions and injuries, ACL twice, and quickscope in between.
What sport?
Rugby and football.
Both of them? And yep. You messed your knee up in both of them?
Yeah, well, actually, one time I fell off a truck. So the re-injury.
On purpose?
Yeah, you know, no, not at all. Re-injury happened working, loading some furniture on the back of a truck, and I misstepped off the back of a 5-ton work truck. So
you missed up, fell?
Yeah, missed up, fell, and forgot to kind of save the knee. So
and boss yelled, "You're fired," right before you hit the ground?
Well, yeah, you know what? I don't work for that guy anymore.
So he did do that?
Yeah.
Okay, so last year you guys went undefeated, won the championship. Year before you went, 18-2 or something like that?
Yeah, we lost.
Won the championship.
Yeah, lost 3 or 4 and won the championship again.
And when did you take over?
I took over, the year before that. So Spence McChavish was a longtime rugby coach and legend in rugby circles before I came in. And, I took over from 3 years ago.
So 3 years and you've already won 2 championships.
You know what? To be honest, we've won 3 because we won the Okanagan Springs, which got the berth or the invitation to move up to Premier. So that was the first objective. And yeah, 3 years, 3 championships.
So you're doing all right.
Yeah, we're doing okay, man.
And this year, how's it going?
You know what? A little bit of a rocky start. So obviously we've had... you know, not the way we want to get going, but, you know, we've dropped a couple games and faced some adversity, and, you know, we're looking to find ways to rectify that.
Okay, boring stuff out of the way. We will continue with our conversation with Ramses Langston, the head coach of UBC Rugby. After this break, you are listening to 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory.
You want to go to a party with me?
No, the game's on.
Oh, I almost forgot. I'll be right there.
We like sports and we don't care who knows. From shooting hoops to the Super Bowl.
Do you like sports and don't care who knows? Then CITR Sports needs you. If you like sports, are into radio, or generally just want to have a great time, then come join us. Email our sports coordinator at sports101@citr.ca to find out more, or come by the station in the new sub. See you soon. Watch, because I'm
the man. All right, sports. We're back here on CITR Radio 101.9. We are talking to the head coach of men's rugby at UBC. This is the Thunderbird Locker Room. So, Rammer, I've been reading this book lately. It's quite interesting. It's by Ed Stafford. He's a British gentleman, and he's the first guy to walk the length of the Amazon.
To tell.
On foot.
Very nice. Barefoot?
We'll get to that. I'm only about 2 chapters in.
Okay.
And enough. So him and his buddy hired a translator, and they were, so they're guides down in South America already, so you'd think they'd be handy at doing this kind of thing.
I would hope so.
They go down to the beach from their hotel because they want to start at the furthest reaches. And I think they're in Argentina, I'm pretty sure.
Let's and, just say it's Argentina.
And they've got these their packs are like 100 pounds, and they barely get back to their hotel, and they just crash at the hotel for that night. Like, their whole day was walking from the beach back to the hotel where they'd stayed the night before.
Amazing.
The second day, his buddy has to take his boots off because they're too tight, so he's wearing Crocs.
Yeah.
And they're walking up the Amazon in Crocs, and he's in his boots.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Would you ever do something like that?
Oh, well, you know me. I roll around in flip-flops like 24/7, so I just might. But Amazon, I'm thinking there's probably some pretty badass animals and poisonous things out there, so it's not my first choice.
Yeah, there's probably some kind of penis-eating spider up there or something.
Oh, like man, imagine.
So they're walking through the snow, and this guy's wearing Crocs. They're going up to the furthest point. Because there's a bunch of markings, apparently, at the end of the Amazon River.
Yeah.
Because there's no real, like, the first source of it. So they just decide, oh, we'll just walk up to the top of this mountain and we'll say that's the source of it.
Yeah.
So they're just trekking through the snow in flip-flops. And.
Okay, well, check this out. I didn't know there was snow in the Amazon, so you're already teaching.
Well, they're in Argentina. Oh, Argentina has mountains.
Yeah, is that right?
The mountains are high.
Nice.
On top of those mountains, there's snow.
No idea. Been to Argentina, though, so.
With rugby,
rugby on tour. You know
what team did you go on tour?
Great country, Carson Graham, the Eagles. Brought him down there for a 2-week tour, and was a great time, my friend.
How about those dogs?
How about those dogs? Yeah, everywhere.
Because you'll see like a Doberman with just like a little Chihuahua beside it, and best buds.
Oh, they're
and they're just lurking around in the corners looking for you to drop food or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a metaphor for you and I, right? I'm the Doberman.
No.
Right?
I think it might be the other way
around. That's too late, man. You can't turn that around.
Okay, good bit of banter there from Ramses Langston, the head coach of UBC Rugby. I'm going to play a quick PSA here, and then we'll get back to the show. You are listening to 101.9 CITR. Coming at you from UBC campus on unceded Musqueam territory.
Are you interested in human rights and social justice? Come check out Amnesty International UBC. We fight to stop human rights violations all over the world, including here in Canada. Our club hosts letter writing sessions, social events, documentary nights, bar fundraisers, and current events discussions on a bi-weekly basis. So keep your ears open and check out our Amnesty International UBC Facebook page for more information. We look forward to promoting human rights with you.
Powerful Amnesty International, saving the world one child at a time. You're listening to 101.9 CITR Radio. This is the Thunderbird Locker Room coming to you from UBC. We are interviewing Ramses Langston, the head coach of UBC Rugby. And this is his diatribe on our province's premier, Christy Clark.
Like harsh teacher hater lady, isn't she?
Okay, so Christy Clark, this is Ramses Langston, a teacher at Handsworth. That is his opinion on her. She is a teacher hater.
Absolutely. this woman does not like our profession.
That's you, Christy Clark. Shout out. Calling you out.
That's right.
By the way, if Christy Clark ever listens to this, I would love to have you in here and talk about your climate change plan.
Absolutely.
Or lack thereof.
I'd like you to call in so that we can talk firsthand.
Well, if I get her in the studio, I'll bring you back in.
Done.
And you can call her a teacher hater.
Sold.
Why'd you call her a teacher hater?
Oh, man, it just doesn't seem like she wants to make anything easy for us, right? So going through a number of strikes, I think you feel that experience that you're a little unappreciated and that your voice isn't heard. So when individuals and politicians like this battle you on important issues, it makes you feel a little less important.
What side was she on that strike? I didn't really pay attention to that last one.
I think she's on her own side, so whatever side serves her best political interests, right?
She's a little bit like Hillary in that matter.
You know what?
I think I've come up with a...
we could make that connection.
It's not that she looks like her and she wears pantsuits as well.
Exactly.
She is on both sides of every issue.
Exactly.
So she pushes LNG, but she says it's green.
Right.
Oh, it says she was in a battle with teachers here from 2004.
Yeah, 100%.
14, sorry.
So, you know, again, those are long-standing wounds that and people remember.
Did you see her on that Royals tour as well?
No, I don't think I did.
Okay, so I hate the idea of still having a Monarchs, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they just came to Victoria.
Yeah.
And they did a big tour, brought the baby. It was bald guy and the one who just got married, and they had...
I wish I could jump in. Prince Harry?
No, Harry's the one with the red hair. Okay. This is the other one.
This is the other one. Okay.
Okay, so they came and did a tour, and you should have seen Christy Clark just all over, like, grabbing on the attention. She went on the tour with them.
Yeah, of course.
And then she goes up to...
Nothing like a free ride and a big fat paycheck.
Yeah, exactly. And who's paying? That's what I hate primarily about these. Like, they come on the tour, and we have to pay for their security. You got to pay for their flights everywhere around BC. What did they do for us?
Yeah, buying dinner for everybody, huge bills.
Let alone representing 500 years of the worst empire that we've ever seen.
Well, here's a comparison. You know that role there, although important, is going to bring in six figures, no problem. In our last strike and advocacy for an increase just to stay with the economic times so that teachers are relevant in this particular economy, we ended up, after having to go on strike, with, I think, an increase in my first year of 0.5%. 0.5%. I don't even know how to...
That's even worse than not giving you one.
I think, exactly. It's like a huge slap in the face. And if I'm not mistaken, I think in past years, we've ended up with like 0 and then 0.5. So over 2 years, 0.5%. You know, for me, it's just like a ridiculous kind of laugh at what we do as a profession.
It's
right?
Basically a punch in the face. Yeah. And then she goes and smiles and
100%
hugs the queen and or the prince and the princess.
Oh, well, for sure.
Okay, everyone, that was an entertaining perspective on Christy Clark there by Ramses Langston. Bear with me here. We're gonna play one more advertisement. And then we will get into a long, drawn-out, ridiculous storytelling time with Ramses Langston, the head coach at UBC Rugby. You've been listening to 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC on Musqueam Territory. Unceded Musqueam Territory.
Oh, man.
What?
I really wanted to catch that football game, but I have to clean my room. I'm so bummed.
Yo, man, totally chill out. You can catch it on CITR.
CITR?
Did someone say CITR?
Yeah.
CITR Radio brings you Thunderbird Sports on the weekends. Catch all the action and don't miss a moment of play with our live play-by-play and color commentary. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Wow, that's great.
And if you can't catch the game, tune in at 3:30 p.m. every Thursday for our weekly update on UBC Athletics with live scores, recaps, and in-depth analysis.
Oh, okay, dude. Okay, dude. We get it.
Dude.
Only on CITR.
You are listening to 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC on unceded Musqueam Territory. This is the Thunderbird Locker Room. I am speaking to Ramses Langston, the head coach of UBC Rugby. This next portion of our interview begins with discussions about the new president of UBC, Santa Ono, and quickly spirals into a fun-filled conversation. And we do get off the rails a little bit. There might be a few swear words, but it's a college radio station, so deal with it. Here you go. Should I get Santa Ono on here? How dope is that name?
Yeah, you know what? I'd like to have that name. I like Santa originality. Ono. You know?
What mom goes, hey, you know what I'm going to call my kid? Santa.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, probably some that has like a Christmas time issue of some sort, you know? She didn't get the gift she wanted.
Oh, lump of coal.
So, oh, imagine getting the lump of coal.
His dad didn't get the Red Ryder rifle.
How angry must you be as a parent to actually give your kid a lump of coal?
How about Tony at Caps? What canceled about? Christmas.
Oh, is that right? Wow. His Talk kid, about follow through.
His kid quit rugby.
Tony Scott.
And yeah. He canceled Christmas.
Yeah, right.
You know how devastating that is for a 12-year-old?
Oh, no question.
Come downstairs and the tree's just gone. and there's no presents.
No gifts.
And your dad's just there drinking coffee and reading the paper like it's the normal day.
Just chiming on a cigar, waiting for you to break down and cry.
Your mom's got a black eye. She cooks you extra bacon to make up for it.
Absolutely. Only Tony's taken it, snatched it off your plate.
Oh, my God.
Replaced it with more coal. Right?
Joe Rogan would never do that to anyone.
No. How could you?
He's a way better, way better father, I'm sure.
I heard Joe Rogan was an MMA guy as well.
That's his main job.
No, I'm wondering why he doesn't step in the ring and put on a show.
Like fight?
Tap some guys out, yeah.
He's old now.
He was on there as if he was going to fight. I forgot who it was supposed to be. I think he was going to fight like...
Oh, Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, or
yes.
Something like that, right?
How do you know about that?
Listen. I got my ear to the ground. You know? I got my ear to the ground.
Wesley Snipes, because he had some tax problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Needed some money, and they were going to do it.
Yeah.
They were getting close, too. Like,
yeah.
Rogan started training.
I would pay to see that
fight. He would... destroy Wesley Snipes.
Oh, yeah.
Blade is not real.
No.
And you can't have a sword in MMA. Yeah.
No shit. What are you going to do then, Wesley?
You know what? He might have some move. He looks pretty jacked.
Yeah.
But Joe Rogan, black belt in karate, black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
No chance, bud.
Yeah.
Yes. So he does that, announcing.
Yeah.
Acting from time to time, and then his podcast makes so much money.
Yeah, I remember when he first broke out, it was like news radio.
Yeah,
it was his first show. I watched that for quite a bit.
With Andy Dick?
Yeah, pretty funny.
Was it good?
Yeah, well, listen, I didn't watch it for too long, but it was kind of funny. He was good. But never would I have guessed that he would parlay that show into, you know, him being obviously... quite a well-known face in the UFC and MMA world.
Yeah, well, he was a karate instructor before.
Oh, okay. So he's got a history in the martial arts.
Yeah. Well, that he went to call it. I think he was a national champ when he was real young. And then he went to college and was teaching at college, and then he started doing the comedy stuff.
Nice. Funny and able to punch you in the face.
I've never met this guy. I know way too much about him.
Yeah. You know what? It's a little bit creepy.
It would be creepy if we met and I just like hugged him.
Yeah.
Like, yo, what's up, Dad?
I feel like I know.
What's up, fam?
What's up, fam?
Do you want to go get some dinner or something? It's like, no, man. I don't know who you are.
Please don't cancel Christmas.
I think he's had that before. Like, he's eating with his kids or something.
Oh, yeah?
Because, like... most guys who listen to a while, you feel like you know him almost.
Yeah.
Because you know every single story, and he doesn't hold back.
Yeah, well, you know, you appreciate that honesty, right? The genuine approach to radio and talking about what's real in life.
Yeah, he doesn't use the fake intro voice like I had to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he doesn't have to do the intro.
Hi, it's Chase.
Hey, we're selling T-shirts. Well, unfortunately, we are not selling T-shirts yet, but I'm sure we'll get there soon. If more people turn into 101.9 CITR coming to you from UBC, maybe we'll be able to sell T-shirts one day. This next part of my conversation with Ramses Langston in the Thunderbird locker room is about the Falun Gong, and then it quickly moves off into other areas of extreme interest. Enjoy.
Okay.
So I think Falun, those are the, I think they're a meditating group in China, and they're really repressed. Have you ever been up to the, on Granville, the Chinese embassy is there.
Okay.
And if you go there, there's always a lady meditating out front protesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because,
that does sound right.
The third thing after Falun Dafa on Google is cult.
Okay, fair.
So that's...
a little bit creepy.
So yeah, I think they, like the Chinese government puts these people in jail.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who they take steal organs from and stuff like that.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Harvesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't want to accuse the whole Chinese government of doing that.
Hey, buddy, that is one government I probably wouldn't mess around with.
Yeah, so here's one from 2009. China's Falun Gong. They call it gong. I guess Dafa is another way for it. Crackdown. So it's a they're persecuting them, basically.
That is crazy. And then stealing their organs? That just doesn't seem right.
Well, the Chinese have a history of that organ stealing.
Yeah.
Because, well, they've got all their medicine with quotation marks around it.
So do you think it's the Chinese government that's behind all these, like, alien kidnappings?
It's just the Chinese
looking to harvest, like, body parts
and they go to Kansas and find some drunk farmer
like some kind of saucer and flatten out his corn. He comes outside and gone. Bingo bango.
Probably.
Right? Absolutely.
I think we're on to something.
You know what? If you go missing in the next couple of days, I'm going to know why.
Because I've been abducted by the Chinese flying saucers.
Absolutely.
I was listening to a Radiolab. I think it was Radiolab, the podcast.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't them, but shout out. They're talking about the Japanese doing weather balloon bombings on the west coast of Canada and the United States. So basically, they came up with a system where if the balloon dropped too low at night, because it cooled down, so the air inside the balloon would cool down, condense, so it would start dropping. It would drop a sandbag at a certain height, so it drops a sandbag, and then it raises back up. And then the next night, it'll go even lower, drop another sandbag, and it gets all across the Atlantic. And they found, like, four or five of them that actually made it across, and they were all, like, there was a big... Honestly, I don't remember this very very well, but it blew some kid's arm off or something a while back.
But the falling sand?
In like not the sand. They had bombs on these weather balloons.
They actually dropped bombs.
So they're bombing the East Coast with this, and the sandbag contraction.
This must have been a long time ago.
Yeah, it was Second World War.
Yeah, okay, great.
This is in the 90s.
I'm like, man, like last
the Japanese
week?
Are dropping.
Like, what? This is a thing? You're kidding.
Yeah, have you not heard about this? Chrissy Clark was in on it.
I don't know. I wouldn't doubt it. I could see her in a balloon.
I'm going to look it up right now so we can get a time and a place.
Time frame?
Chinese weather balloon. I really need an assistant. There it is. Chinese weather balloon bombs. They call it a fire balloon. 1944. Code Foo, weapon. It was launched by Japan during World War II. A hydrogen balloon loaded with 15 kilos of bombs. Origins, offensive, allied investigation. Yeah, so they had a very low success. But they actually found a bunch of them.
Sounds like a low success endeavor.
It's not really a great plan.
It does not sound like a high rate of return.
Just rely on the wind and sandbags.
Weather balloon bombing. whoever thought this up is definitely missing a kidney today.
Okay, so apparently they did kill a few people in America, but the states ran like a bunch of propaganda to cover it up.
Yeah.
But there's some articles that were like balloon mystery in Newsweek from 1945 and stuff like that.
Total kill count, 4.
4. It took them 5 years and millions of dollars, even in 1940s, to come up with this
4
plan.
People.
Why didn't they just do the whole plane thing again? That worked out pretty good the first time.
Yeah, you know, you live and learn.
Oh, single lethal attack. Here it is, in Oregon. It killed... Okay, we should stop laughing. It killed Elsie Mitchell. She's 26. I'm not going to name all these people. But there's some 13-year-olds and 11-year-olds.
My condolences.
There's a monument to them.
Yeah, imagine.
Oh, no. She was pregnant. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that sounds sad.
I told you that would get a little off the rails. We reel it in, though, in this next session. You're listening to Thunderbird Locker Room on 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory. I hope you're enjoying listening to this as much as I am while I'm editing it. Stay tuned. Here it comes. Here it comes. Wow. Oh, moving on.
Yeah, this all took
Yeah, that
turn
took a horrible turn. Have you been to Oregon before?
Have I?
Oregon?
Yeah, Portland.
That's the best place to go.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Beavers play?
Sweet city. No, but I... are the Beavers a soccer team?
That's a football. Football team.
No, I went down and saw the soccer team, whatever they're called, the Sounders. No.
Seattle. That's Seattle.
No, Seattle. Anyways, Portland has a soccer team. I went and saw them, and it was a sweet city. I was expecting very industrial, very boring, very, you know, Portland. And it was exactly the opposite.
It's hipster central.
It was cool.
That is where the hipster movement started.
We were on the streets. We hung out all the whole time. It was a good time. Found myself an amazing whiskey bar. Like, amazing.
Outdoor. Oh, dudes with beards.
Loved it.
Twirled mustaches.
Loved it. They accepted me. Just like that. You know?
Well, if you drink whiskey, I guess they...
Right away.
Do you pretend like you know what you're talking about when you drink whiskey?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Do you know what you're talking about?
No, I don't. I know that I like whiskey, and I know that it likes me. So we get along.
You and whiskey get along?
Yeah, absolutely.
I do not get along with whiskey at all.
Yeah, J-Mo and I go way back.
You and old Jameson?
Yeah. You know what? We're buddies.
I heard he's a good guy.
Yeah, you know what? He's for real, you know? He's always going to be there when you need him.
In times of need?
Absolutely.
Kid dies in a Japanese bombing.
Hey, J-Mo's there.
J-Mo's there. Your wife who's pregnant dies in a Japanese weather balloon bombing?
Yeah, J-Mo's there. The UBC Thunderbirds start out 1-2. J-Mo's is there.
Okay. What did you want to talk about? How expensive the parking is here.
Yeah, I want to talk about parking, right? So
okay, so last year, you were telling me this before you ended up getting towed.
Yeah, well, what I didn't realize is that when you collect tickets for parking and coaching here at UBC, there's a limit by which you then become public enemy number one, and they not only give you a ticket, but then they tow your car. I went to retrieve my car only to find out that it was 3 blocks away, and it cost me $100 for the tow and $500 in total before they released my car.
So they charge you $100 for a three block tow.
Absolutely. And I just want to remind everybody here that I coach here. Volunteer,
so your staff,
of my own time to make UBC athletes and program better.
Which you have done. Well, clearly, three championships.
Hey, I work at it, you know, and all I ask in return is to be able to park close to where I work.
Talk to Santa about it.
You know what? I'm going to. It's going to be on my wish list.
Go in there.
Santa Ono?
put your penus on the table, and he'll see what's up.
Okay.
And he'll give you a parking spot.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to have to work on being nice, and then I'll get on the list. And then once I'm on the list, I might be in order for
this conversation
spot.
Might not help that. But there's probably going to be 2 people that hear this.
Hey, listen, I know there's other coaches out there who go through my same experience. So
of getting
I'm not alone.
Respect.
That's right. Hey, we're just asking for a little parking.
Exactly.
That's right.
Okay, Hillary and Trump.
Ugh.
We were talking. You don't like. You like Trump more than you like Hillary.
No, I think it's a neutral tie. I don't like either of them, but I think I like Hillary less than Trump.
What is it about? Is it just, it's just off, right?
Yeah, her face. Let's just start with that.
Her face? What's wrong with her face?
I don't know. It's like
so fake.
It's an immediate, an immediate reaction, right? Like, you know, nobody smiles that much. You know, nobody.
Have you seen that clip where they drop the balloons at the DNC? Oh my God, you're gonna love this. Yeah, this is a clip. So
this is exactly.
I think they do their. So for folks out there, I love American politics. I probably know way more about American politics than I do Canadian politics. But Hillary Clinton at the DNC, which was the Democratic National Convention for the Democratic Party. They dropped the balloons at the end after her stupid, lame, platitude-ridden speech.
Mm-hmm.
And the face she makes when these balloon drops is like she's never seen a balloon in her entire life. It's so funny. It's so ridiculous. Okay. Here, it's 20 seconds. Watch this. That's the music at the DNC. Here it is.
Oh, wow. See that?
How fake is that?
You just lost my vote.
Look at that. Wow. Look at her face.
It's unbelievable.
Bill's doing the old thumbs up.
Yeah.
And she's got her mouth wide open, eyes spread open, staring at the ceiling like she's never. It's like she's the kid seeing fireworks for the first time.
I'm pretty sure that she could swallow a balloon with that range.
Bill's pointing. Whoa! What are those? Those are balloons, Hillary.
Look, and there's like three more down there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
These fucking people.
Look at Bill.
What? Well, at least Bill's was like, hey, cool.
Yeah, hey, cool.
But not like, whoa!
Right.
She's just so fake. You can't be fake like that anymore.
Yeah, you know what? People understand when you're bullshitting.
Exactly.
You know? It's actually right in your face. I take one look at her, I can't do it, you know? So could even you? If it meant casting a vote to a lesser desirable human being, like...
So if you had American citizenship,
to be honest,
you
I do.
Yeah. What for? What state
I have
are you registered to
and,
vote?
California.
Okay, so you could vote for Trump and it wouldn't make a difference.
No.
So would you still vote? Because if you don't know, in California is pretty solid blue, so you could pretty much vote for anyone and they're still going to vote for.
It wouldn't
Democrat.
Matter. Yeah, for sure. And
or would you vote third party?
Would I go there and vote out of spite? No, probably not interested, but, I think it's a lose-lose for America right now, so.
Yeah, there's different levels of lose, though.
The fact that you're left with these two people, and there's got to be one as your next president, means that you have royally
literally
fucked this up.
They both have the highest negatives of any, so Hillary has the second ever. Most negative.
Yeah.
And Trump has the most negative, yeah. And they're the two candidates that...
Yeah. You're like, how did you...
If that happens, there is something wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
With your political process.
Yeah, it's something
especially because you had Bernie, who was firing everyone up.
Yeah, no
And
kidding.
Then the DNC just sewers him.
Yeah, you had a couple of reasonable human beings that might have been able to go in there and do a job. And let's just all be really honest here. You can't follow Barack.
It's hard to follow the black
right? Man. Like, I mean, come on. The
it's
first,
pretty powerful.
The first black president of the United States.
How and do you, how he's do you so smooth on the mic,
yeah,
too.
How do you follow that? He can do anything. And cover
the only
it
way
up.
You can follow it is to be the first woman president. Well, but not like this.
No, she is going to make a debacle out of this, and there
you
will probably
so?
Never be another woman president
for a
after
long time.
Her. That's right.
Well, people will get to realize that a woman could be just as shitty at being president as a man can.
Right. Exactly.
Pick a better woman to do that job.
100%.
Pick Elizabeth Warren.
Okay.
Pick, I don't know, Tom, what's his name? Clooney's wife, Amal.
Hey,
she's a baller. International lawyer.
What about Oprah Winfrey?
Everyone will get a car.
Right. Ellen DeGeneres.
You get health care. You get health care.
Right. Ellen DeGeneres would be a far better president than Clinton.
There it is. Ramses Langston and Chase Kelleher have just declared on the Thunderbird locker room that Ellen DeGeneres would be a wonderful president. We will take one last break here. We'll listen to an ad, and then we will get into talk about poverty. I think Liberia comes up. Should be fire.
Tune in Sundays from 9 till 10 p.m. for bootlegs and B-sides with your host, Doran, for the finest in soul, dubstep, ghetto funk, and electro.
Welcome back to the Thunderbird Locker Room. This is 101.9 CITR Radio coming to you from UBC campus on unceded Musqueam territory. We are speaking to Mr. Ramses Langston. He is the head coach of UBC Rugby. Take it away, Rammer.
Well, I try and, you know, drop off the clothes, and I try and, last year at UBC, and you got to keep this part, did a really cool chili event in the middle of the downtown east side. And so we spent a few hours outside in the rain and fed, over 100 people who, you know, probably really needed a meal. So, you know, that also... You know, had a great effect on what we do, right? So,
yeah. Do you ever think we'll get to the point where there aren't sort of casts so opposite like that, where you have a guy who can buy a $20 million house, and then someone who's sleeping on the streets?
Yeah. Well, see, now you're talking about Yeah, you know what? I think we do. I think at some point the Earth is going to have to reach a critical mass, so to speak. I don't know if that's the right terminology
to
describe
population, it. You mean?
Population, people, wealth, whatever, where there are so many more people that don't have what they need versus those who have so much that they could never, ever make use of it. I think at some point we've got to reach a breaking point with that.
Do you think we're running into that right now?
Oh, we've got to be headed in that direction.
Headlong?
You know what I mean? I have things. I'm a very lucky human being, and I'm already looking at those who have so much wealth that they don't know how to use it and going, well, why do you get to have that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
While so many others have almost nothing.
Right. But so. they would, playing devil's advocate, they say they work for it.
Yeah. Right.
And then other people are lazy.
For
they
sure.
Don't work enough.
If you call throwing a football and catching a football for touchdowns, work for it. Hey, cool.
Or
I'm a huge
inheriting
NFL
$40 million
fan.
From your father.
Exactly. Or being born with the right last name. Or right. Like if you call that working for it, all right. But you know, for me,
paying off politicians to give you tax breaks.
Yeah, and there are genuine people who do work for stuff. They come from nothing and they make their, you know, million or 2 million, and then they make that money work for them. I know those cases and instances exist, but the large majority, I think it's 5% of the world, dominates the majority of the wealth.
Yeah, I'm actually going to look this stat up because it's pretty crazy. It's like 63 people or some number, really small, own more than the bottom half of the world combined.
Right. And I'm like, you know, at some point, you know, people are going to look at this and go, hey, that's my ability to stay alive. That's my ability to feed my family, provide for those people I care. So, you know, what's the tipping point? Like, how big does a baseball pitcher's contract have to be before we kind of go, hey, that's
maybe we should pay for some buses.
Hey, why not? Right?
That's, yeah, that, see, yeah.
You know?
I mean, but lots of people hear that and they say, nah, that's bullshit. Get yours.
Yeah.
You're only here for so long.
Hey, and everyone, that's what's great about the society we live in. You're all entitled to your own opinions, freedom of speech and, you know, freedom of choice. And, you know, you can think what you want, right?
Okay, here's an actually super interesting stat that I just found and I've heard it before. So if your income is more than $32,400 a year, American, you're in the top 1% of the world.
Yeah. Say it again. What's the...
$32,400 a year.
Yeah.
You're in the top 1% of the world.
Right?
You wouldn't think you were.
No.
But you're in the top 1% of the world.
But what are there, like 7, 8 billion people?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? World
but
population?
You just think about how many countries where... 30. Like, there's only a few countries where the average income is 32,000. Right. So that's what? Canada... America, some northern European countries, Australia, New Zealand, and
handful.
That's it.
Yeah, but in each of those countries, I think the majority of people don't make that, right? So everyone talks about how great it is to live in Canada, and I completely agree. I love our country. I love what we do, and I feel lucky to live here, but there's a lot of people who are, you know, having a tough time.
Well, there's more slaves now than there ever were.
Yeah. You know what?
Wage slaves?
Yeah, wage slaves.
In India and where's the other? China, the big one?
Yeah, and the sweatshops and clothing factories and manufacturing, right?
Yeah, more than there ever have been.
You didn't tell me we were going to get all serious on this show.
We'll get as serious as you want to. I just Googled slavery, so we'll look into this. Okay.
This one here, I used to talk about this with my grade 6 class when I taught elementary school, and we used to look at world statistics and what's happening in the world, and so to get them to be globally minded, we used to have a look at worldometers, and it actually gives you like a real-time account of like population increase and decrease, and then it goes into a number.
Oh, wow. It's real time, eh?
Well,
it's all ticking up and
as close as you can, right?
Right?
So you can see the rate at which people come into the world, and then you can also see the rate at which people move on from this world.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's a number of other statistics, like people who have access to clean water, people who have access to all kinds of different basic needs, healthcare, et cetera. You know, the number of cars produced.
Is this the Canadian one?
I think it does world.
Right.
So
well, it says government and economics, so.
Yeah. So I think you can make it as specific or broad as you want.
Oh, it gives you how many book titles were published?
Absolutely. Some this really cool stuff in there, man. But it's also astonishing when you look at the world scale of some of these things, right?
Again, this is worldometers.info.
Yeah. It's got things like the decrease in forest acreage.
Environment,
Yeah. So you said earlier that you were into, Christy Clark's climate control stuff. So you obviously care about the environment.
Yeah.
It's pretty good to...
I actually talked with TQ about that last show. And we were talking about this new report that just came out that we passed the... So we passed it a few times, but never as consistently as we have now, the 400 parts per million carbon dioxide in the air.
Yeah.
And basically we're fucked is what it means. So it'll take hundreds of years to get that down, no matter what we do.
Yeah.
We could
cold turkey.
Trash every car, shut down every coal fire power plant, everything.
Everyone ride bikes.
And we would still be at the same level and even rise more.
Yeah.
Because they say there's
begin to come down.
They say there's a delay between.
Sure.
Obviously when you stop.
When you turn it around and then follow through and sure. Which is quite sad. So what's the solution, Chase?
The solution? Yeah. Basically, we have to do that and then just hope for the best.
Hope for the best.
Mitigate.
Oh, man.
You can't.
I know. Here's another one of those crazy things I might say, but I'm super glad I'm not going to live to be more than 100.
Yeah. You won't be around to experience the water wars and famine. Like lots of investors now, they're like guys like... Warren Buffett and the guy who owns Virgin Airlines. So they're investing in water, but they're doing it through investing in, food.
Mm.
So they'll invest in corn production or something because you need water to make food, food to feed people, right?
Right.
So they're expecting droughts.
Yeah.
And sure. Lots of them.
So they're banking on a collapse.
They're banking on a drought.
Wow. You know what? Good on you, but again, I think this speaks to that whole problem of all these very rich people who have the time and money to kind of monopolize these markets and then, benefit, They're basically looking to make more money off of people suffering.
How much money do you need?
Yeah, exactly. What do you plan to do with so much money that you can never, ever spend it ever?
It doesn't just pass on to your kids, basically.
What's the plan there, right? What do you do when money has no more value?
That's basically where some people are. What was the number? I think it was like 75 grand. After that, you get no more happiness no matter how much money you make.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I might be pretty
happy. I think they did a study, and it was people over 75 grand because you just get more problems.
Right.
You start buying the fancier car that breaks easier.
I believe that.
People start asking you for money.
For sure.
I mean, obviously, you're not going to be that sad living in Hollywood.
Yeah, hills. Man. You know what? I don't know how depressed I'd be in my new boat.
In your Bentley.
Right? Because I'd bring you along. We could hang out, right?
Yeah.
Right?
We wouldn't have to do this shitty show in the studio.
We do this show from my boat.
Exactly. Right? Birds chirping.
Studio room in there. Yeah.
And Christy Clark couldn't do anything about it.
Sorry. You can't come, Christy.
We'd have her paid off. We'd pay off the guy running against her just to beat her.
100%, right?
Just invest millions in his campaign.
Shoot. I make enough money. I'll run against you, Christy. No problem.
Just be the rich guy.
No problem.
So the back to climate change. So you know about the civil war in Syria.
I have heard... what I would call rumblings, but I do
You've
not
heard rumblings
follow,
of the war.
I do not follow politics. I've heard of the refugees that have been displaced because of what's happening
there. Millions
there.
Of them.
Yeah. So, that kind of stuff I've, tuned into. But tell me more. What's at the heart of the conflict?
Okay. So back to climate change. One of the giant impacts on the war there was actually a drought. So they had a drought in the suburbs and in the farmland. Young men, people who can't have a job now because there's no food farming, move to the city. They go to the city. They don't have any jobs. They get angry.
Yeah.
They start protesting.
Yeah.
And everything kicks off.
Well, you know what?
So Bashar al-Assad, the head, he's actually a pretty tall dude.
Pretty tall, like height?
Yeah, like height-wise. He's like 6'5 or something. He looks like a decent athlete, but he's like, a terrible dictator.
Like he could dunk a ball?
Yeah, he could dunk a ball. He's a horrible dictator, but he could dunk a ball. He actually went to the UN and asked for drought aid, and they were like, nah.
No?
No. They said no.
What?
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, that poverty cycle is a real thing, and that's exactly what you described. Once you get in it, it's very difficult to pull yourself out.
Yeah.
You know?
I watched this. Have you been on Vice before?
100%.
Yeah. So I watched this one special on the richest. I'm pretty sure he was the richest man in the world.
Yeah.
This Indian textiles maker.
Oh, is he the guy with the, like, cars in the basement?
Yes. He built himself a fucking skyscraper.
Yeah.
For his house.
Just him.
For his house.
Yeah, he's got people that work on the floors to keep it clean and maintain. Yes. It's just like him.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's him.
Takes out a different Lambo. Yes. Like, it's got a green one.
At one point, he had a gold T-shirt. One.
Yeah.
A chain link gold T-shirt.
Yeah. Amazing.
What an asshole. Like,
how happy would you be?
But then they zoom out on the building.
Right.
And he's surrounded by slums.
Oh, fuck yeah. They go right down the street and there's like shitty rainwater like pouring on the gutters on the people, and like people living in sewage, and guys like one of the film guys is going through the slum and I think he steps in the water and they have to shut everything down and like antiseptic his
cut his
entire
foot off.
Body, right? Like they were like,
take it off,
cut. We gotta get to this guy right now. Right.
Meanwhile, like, this asshole's standing on his balcony in his gold T-shirt.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Just looking down on everyone.
Oh, right. Driving a green, lime green, M&M colored Lambo.
Probably paying his workers nothing.
Zero. Yeah.
Thinking
zero.
Deserves everything.
You live in like Mumbai or something like that.
It must have been.
Yeah. No, pretty sad, man. I did see that one.
It's gross.
I love the Vice.
I gotta stop knocking that mic.
The Vice is a good time.
They used to be really good.
Yeah.
So when I was in high school, probably 5 or 6 years when they were first getting big.
Yeah.
But they've gotten so big that they're sort of like CNN now.
Yeah.
So they're basically just corrupted.
Yeah. So are they actually like manipulating a lot of their footage to make it look worse, like where they are, or are they actually going into those war zones and putting themselves at,
so they do get in.
Yeah.
Right. So they, I don't know how, like, they got in with ISIS.
Yeah.
And they did a huge special on it.
Yeah.
But they're very, they probably paid them.
Yeah.
Which is
basically funding terrorism.
Sketchy.
But hey, Vice, whatever you got to do, right? Got to get that story.
And they sort of fear-mongered on the Ukraine-Russian thing.
Yeah.
But this Shane Smith, the guy who owns it, he's a cool dude. He just gets hammered in some of the videos they have, right? Like, he's a sweet dude, but he doesn't know that he's been corrupted. Did you see, he did an interview with Obama.
Okay.
And he's just lobbing softballs to him. They're all buddy-buddy, like, knuckles, and like, hey, like, woo, what's up, Obama?
Yeah.
And like, he's just throwing softballs up, like, so how do you think you've done as a president?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Tell me about your new health care plan.
Yeah, like, how great is your new healthcare plan?
Like, man, way to go.
And I thought that Shane was going to go at him, but he just same old softballs, lobbing him up, making it so easy on him.
Yeah. I remember I saw one, my favorite Vice episode, somewhere in the desert, they have a cultural ritual called gavage. You ever seen this?
Where is this? Sorry, what desert?
I couldn't tell you. Honestly, I don't remember all of that. I know they were in the desert.
Okay.
And I know basically this is a ritualistic or cultural fattening of women.
Yes. Yes, I've seen it.
Where they have to basically drink like goat's milk and like bread and like dip the milk, like bread in the milk and stuff your face until you put on like.
It's for the women, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Because otherwise they don't like skinny women. Right? Sorry, skinny bitches, I should say. Right?
Skinny people can't afford food.
No.
If you can afford food, you're fat.
Yeah.
Which means you have money, which means people
are wealthy and desirable, right?
And, we're not talking like...
Oh, and they were doing... I remember they had this one poor little girl on there, and it was like a baby gavage. Like, they were fattening her up from, like, mini. And, like, literally gorging themselves on this stuff until they, like, puke or, like...
Camel milk. Was it camel? It's in Africa. I think it's in Nigeria. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
They do have some sweet.
This little girl, when she gets ready to vomit, looks a lot like my friend Quentin. Quentin Wilms, that's right, of the UBC rugby elite, Quentin Wilms, baby gavage.
He had an incident with some milk.
Yeah, Quentin had a little gavage moment with some milk in Cardiff. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Alcohol was not involved because we are varsity athletes and we don't drink.
No.
Or do drugs.
That's unacceptable.
That.
But the milk, you can drink as much of that as you like.
He just couldn't handle it. I saw another vice. So this is probably the first one that really got me like thinking about the world. It was the Liberia special. Have you heard this one?
That one? Nope.
So they had a civil war. I think it was in 95 it started. And it ended in, actually, I think it ended into the 2000s, like 2005 it ended. And they did a special. So all the generals there during the Civil War took crazy names. Like one guy named himself like Mike Tyson. One guy named himself like General Bin Laden.
So good.
And then this guy, the one they're following around. His name was General Butt Naked.
Nice.
Because his thing was him and his child soldiers would run into battle naked because they thought it made them invisible.
Wow. All kinds, man. Takes all kinds.
I don't think we need him in the world. They would grab a baby before battle.
Yeah.
Cut it open, take the heart out, and take a bite out because they thought it would make them invisible.
Yeah, I don't like hearing stuff like that, man. You know?
So after the Civil War's open, this is how crazy this is. He goes on trial for war crimes, right? Because he had child soldiers. He was cutting babies open. It's literally cutting babies open. He's talking about this on video.
Cutting babies.
And the reason they get access to him and he's not in prison is he said he converted to Christianity and he's all good now.
Oh.
They let him off categorically. Everything wiped. Record gone.
That's a thing? Really?
Yes. Yes. They show the trial in the...
Well, that's a problem.
A church in Liberia full of little boys.
Church and daycare.
Pretty sure he's probably a pedophile, too.
Yeah, you know what? There's a good
chance. He takes young boys in like he would when he did this child soldier thing.
Is this going to be okay for the air?
This is real stuff. This happened. I'm not making this up.
I'm just
anyone
checking.
Can look it up. Vice.com, General Butt Naked.
Nobody said that. General Butt Naked sounds like a disturbing interview.
Years later, he goes to a roadside like just a place you buy like street meat, right?
Yeah.
Buys a kebab, bites the kebab.
Yeah.
He's like, that is not pork.
Yeah.
He remembered what human tasted like.
Oh.
Reported these people.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So maybe he has changed. Is that the message here? Maybe General
People Butt change.
Naked. Maybe General Butt Naked.
Is a great guy.
Maybe that's... taking steps in the right direction. And we have Christianity to thank. Right?
No, you're totally right.
How is this now, Chad? This must have affected your views on religion. This remarkable turnaround by General Butt Naked? No?
General Butt Naked.
Come on, man.
Okay, yeah. No, you're right. Religion is all good.
Yeah, fair enough.
People get second chances.
That's not what I'm saying. Don't quote me.
Okay, so Liberia is still in a shit. So that basically, this is how it formed. I'm really warm. That's why I'm rolling those up.
Yeah, because it's like 400 degrees in here. Boss.
I wrote last time, because you write down the level, I wrote as 100 degrees.
Yeah, it has to be at least 100 right now.
Celsius.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm wearing shorts.
Yeah. So Liberia formed. It was when they freed the slaves in America, in the South,
right?
They were like, we don't want all these black people around. So they sent some of them back.
That's still the way it is.
Yeah. So they sent some of them, to Liberia.
Yeah.
Guess what those former slaves did when they got to Liberia?
Tell me about it.
What? Enslaved the population. Of course. Because that's the way humans are.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Like, ha-ha, going to do it to you.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. Yeah. I hate people sometimes. And so now, they're a disaster, right? They just had that big civil war. They don't have... like a sewage system. So people shit on the beach. The mayor shits on the beach.
In Liberia?
Yes.
That is...
They get a video of it, and it's like white sand beaches. It would be beautiful sand.
Yeah.
Just dotted with human shits.
And what's the theory here? They don't do washrooms and toilets? They don't have them?
Just don't have the resources. Corruption.
Really? Yeah.
Mostly probably corruption. Yeah.
Remind me not to go there. Ever.
Well, that was where they had the big Ebola outbreak, was
ever.
In Liberia.
Remind me
and
not to go
there. And people were like,
there.
How did this happen? Ebola? Yeah, because yeah, people are shitting on the beach.
Yeah, what? Yeah. That's terrible.
God, Africa.
Yeah, and you know, at some point, that's going into the water, right?
Oh, so, of course.
You know,
the tide goes in, tide goes out.
Wash, oh, man. Never going in the ocean again.
Nowhere?
So much for my Indian arm adventures.
Well, there's all that Japanese radiation in our waters now, too.
Yeah, you know what? And like 400 cargo ships that sit out in the bay there.
Washed out from the...
Dumping stuff in there. Well, they come in because it's the port of Vancouver, right? So every time you go out there, just off the just off Stanley Park there, and you head out towards West Vancouver, and there's tons of them, these freighters and
so we get our food.
Ships. And
that's why you get oranges whenever you want.
Well, man, that's
why you
why
get
we
bananas
get
whenever you want.
Man, I love me some oranges.
That's how they get here. They don't fly a bunch of oranges in.
No,
they bring them on ships.
Fair enough, but it's got to be pretty crappy for the water.
Can't be good.
No.
Is that about it? We've been here for over an hour.
Okay, let's call it a quits.
Okay. Hold on. One more. I'd like to thank Ramsey. Sorry, I just go into my radio voice now.
Do it.
I'd like to thank Ramsey Langston for coming on. He's the head coach at UBC Rugby. Do you have Twitter, Instagram, Facebook?
No.
Neither
of
those?
I stay off the old interweb.
Okay, don't look him up anywhere except for the UBC website where you'll find a... I'm assuming beautiful picture of him.
Yeah, no, I actually just took my first selfie this summer.
Your first selfie?
40 years old, first selfie.
Did your daughter make you do that?
Yeah, they did. And they they encouraged me to do it.
Take a selfie.
Yeah. And so I did. And so I'm thinking of maybe posting it on the website.
On the UBC website?
Yeah, as my photo.
That's not really where you're supposed to put selfies.
No? Well, my coaching picture, right?
Instagram.
I got to do a coaching picture somewhere for UBC, so it's going to be a selfie.
Okay, well, you can check me out on Instagram. I'm Chase Kelleher on there. And on Twitter, I'm Chase Kelleher 1, unfortunately, because someone got the other one.
Got to check him out.
Yeah, do it.
Do it.
Okay, you've been listening to Thunderbird Locker Room on 101.9 CITR Radio from UBC campus on unceded Musqueam territory. Thank you. And Ramses, what song should we play out with here?
I'm going to throw you a little Kanye West, okay. FML.
Kanye. Is he actually going to say the words FML in this song, though?
That's just what it's called.
Okay. Well, you know what that stands for, right? You're hip.
For a minute for my
good start.
Later.
A little cleaner.
So I can jeopardize that for one of these hoes. I've been living.
No, we can't have Kanye saying hoes on the radio.
All right.
I'm going to just pick one if you don't. You want hip hop?
Hang on.
Should we do some Salt and Pepper?
Oh, what? Nobody listens to them anymore.
I'll play some Ye, some Kanye.
Yeah.
But this is from the same album.
Yeah.
But it's a lot cleaner, and it's a pretty dope song.
Okay, do it. And if I come across something, I'll let you know. But
watch this music video, dude. Look at this woman's body. This is the one they played at the music video. The music video. Look at her. Look at this bod. She had a kid like 3 months before this, too.
Mm-hmm.
I just fade away.
Look at that.
Fade away.
Wow.
I fade away, yeah. I think I'm too much.
I feel it. Your love is fading. I feel it.
Roll up, hold up, pull up.